Welcome back to The Green on Delaware Public Media. I'm your host, Tom Byrne. Food prices remain a major concern for consumers across the country, including here in the First State. The typical trip to the grocery store can produce an eye-popping total at the register once everything in your cart is scanned and bagged up. This week, contributor Eileen Dalabrida takes a closer look at those receipts to see where consumers are getting hit hardest and some of the ways people are coping with skyrocketing prices. Her piece is available right now at DelawarePublic.org. And earlier this week, I sat down with Eileen to discuss what she learned. So let's start with the items that are really seeing spikes. What are some of the staples of the average grocery list that are much more expensive now?
Well, the price of coffee is up about 21% in the past year. And part of that is because of the trifecta of calamity in Brazil: droughts, frost, and tariffs. Beef is up about 11%, and that's 11% this year, tacked on to the big hike it took last year. And eggs, which really went up during the avian flu outbreak, are still 50% higher than before the pandemic. Flour, sugar, canned fruits and veggies, and carbonated drinks have each climbed by more than 30% since the pandemic.
And you alluded to some of the issues with coffee, but what are some of the reasons for some of these other price spikes? I'm sure a lot of people assume it's just the tariffs that have been put in place recently, but as you reported, it's much more complex than that, right?
It is indeed complicated. You know, we were talking about coffee, and it's not only the weather and tariffs. We're also paying for those lower coffee prices we had been enjoying for several years. Because coffee farmers were making less money, they invested less in their operations, including fertilizer. Meanwhile, fertilizer prices were going up. The ongoing war in Ukraine, the breadbasket of Eastern Europe, is also impacting prices for flour and grains.
So let's talk a little bit about how people are coping. And you note there's a few ways that, people are kind of dealing with all of this. And one of which is some of the new kids on the block to shop at. Can you tell us a little bit about who they are and how they're helping people perhaps trim their grocery bill a little bit?
Well, higher prices do present a golden opportunity for merchants who can sell for less. And so many consumers are changing their habits. And a number of shoppers tell me they have switched to Aldi, and that's the German-based discount supermarket chain that specializes in private label goods, like its own version of Chips Ahoy cookies and Fruit Loop cereals and other brands. The eggs, milk, produce, and even organic items are less expensive than other grocery stores because they have a minimalist model. Smaller stores, which does mean the selection is limited, and low overhead, like displaying goods in the cardboard cartons instead of on shelves. The Aldi just opened a store in December on Route 202 in North Wilmington and now has 10 locations statewide. And they're also expanding with a $1.1 million square foot distribution center south of Newcastle because they plan to grow even more. They're on such a tear, opening more than 225 stores across the country this year, that they will soon become the third largest supermarket chain in America.
Another way people are coping is kind of maybe a more traditional way, right? The old-fashioned bargain hunting. How much can that helps someone keep their bill in check?
Well, educating yourself on weekly promotions, making a list, and sticking to it can indeed make a difference. I get the impression that consumers are actually reading those supermarket flyers that arrive in the mail these days instead of tossing them immediately in the recycling bin. And Acme is giving senior citizens a 5% discount on Tuesdays. So you'll see a lot of people with gray hair in the stores on Tuesdays.
And I guess that's any of those type of like one-time bargains is worth taking a peek at. In addition to the stuff you see in the flyers, it is a little bit of work, but it does perhaps give you some cost savings. You also in your reporting mentioned that these high prices can affect choices as well. Are there certain things people turn to when they're trying to create cheaper meals because, hey, it's just cheaper to do things this way than having a full-on meal prep?
Well, here's a blast from the past. Sales of Hamburger Helper, priced at about $2 a box, are up 14.5%. And there's also evidence that consumers are pulling back on meats and stocking up on rice and beans.
Something to think about if you're trying to make a cheaper meal. These prices also take a toll on consumer confidence, Eileen. What do we know about the impact there?
The University of Michigan has a long-running index of consumer sentiment, and that's an important barometer of the American pocketbook. And it edged down again in October to one of the weakest readings since the 1950s. The bottom line, higher prices and weaker job prospects remain at the forefront of consumers' minds. And further, consumers say they don't expect meaningful improvement in these factors in the near future, which could take some of the jingle out of holiday shopping.
For sure, for sure. Unfortunately for many, cutting back, bargain hunting are not enough. If people need food assistance, where are some of the places they can find it here in Delaware? And what are those places seeing these days?
Well, the director of our Daily Bread, and that's a soup kitchen in Middletown, tells me that the number of people, and that includes children, who come in for meals has gone up starting in September. It's now about 240 folks a day, where before the number rarely hit 200. And the Food Bank of Delaware is broadening its reach with mobile food pantries, and they serve people who don't have transportation or live in less accessible areas. And of course, a number of churches and nonprofits also operate food pantries.
And obviously, this pressure is exacerbated by some of the changes to SNAP benefit qualifications and requirements. We reported on that recently here on Delaware Public Media, and that just adds to the pressure that people have if they need food assistance. One thing I do want to mention as we wrap up is another thing that you reported on at the end of your piece that just struck me, and that is there's also issues getting food for our furry family members. What does the picture look like there?
Well, prices for pet food are climbing even faster than for people food, and it's called petflation. And it started going up in July, and it's now to the point where pet food, dog food, cat food, and also food for exotic pets is 24% above the levels in 2021. Sorry,
that,
Fluffy.
And what interests me about that, Eileen, is the fact that there had been this trend recently to like get away from kibble, right? And like fresh foods and giving your pet better food. And I wonder if this is going to wind up eating into that particular market as well, because people are going to be like, well, I can maybe afford the kibble more than I can the fresh pet food.
I think that this might be an instance of where people will just bite the bullet and spend what they have to for our precious pets.
Thanks to contributor Eileen Dalabrida for joining us on The Green this week. Her story on food prices in the first state and how people are coping with them is available right now at DelawarePublic.org. And The Green continues in a moment with Arts Playlist, where we preview First State Ballet's Halloween offering, Dracula, a Gothic Ballet of Love and Shadows. You're listening to The Green on Delaware Public Media.